Chapter 11. On Monday, Darryl didn't have to go back to school except for wrestling practice. The winter recess had come, and Bluford High was closed for the Christmas and New Year's holidays. Darryl was grateful he didn't have to set foot in a classroom for a while. He did not want to see Amberlynn. He was sure she was mad at him for leaving her at the dance. He wondered if she found out why he had left so suddenly. If she did, she was probably ashamed of what a coward he was. Still, Darryl was glad about one thing. At least he had spared Amberlynn from Tyrae's teasing. Darryl and his mother spent Christmas Day with Uncle Jason's family. Despite a delicious dinner of fried chicken and mashed garlic potatoes and receiving a new outfit from his uncle and aunt, Darryl couldn't wait to get home, away from his cousin's constant bickering. It was the first Christmas Darryl had spent away from Philadelphia and his friends. Later that evening, in the quiet of his own room, Darryl remembered how he and Malik used to compare presents right after the holiday. He wondered if Malik would like the new Nike warm-up jacket his mother got him for Christmas. It seemed like years had passed since he stood on his street with his old friends. He was thinking about the last time he had seen Malik when his mother sat down next to him.
"Darryl, is everything okay in school?" she asked. "I know I've been busy lately, but I'm a little concerned about you."
She watched him as she spoke. He wondered why she seemed so worried. Maybe she had figured out what he was doing with the lunch money, or maybe she wanted to know what he had done with the change he had from the dance. He didn't want to lie to her, but he didn't want to tell her the truth either.
"You seem to be doing so well. Your grades are better this marking period."
It was true, Darryl thought. He had done better in school since he joined the wrestling team.
"Jason and I are so proud that you are wrestling, and I was happy to see that you wanted to go to the dance. That takes a lot of courage, especially for someone new to the school. But with all that, you still don't seem happy. You walk around like you got something on your mind all the time. And every time I ask you, you say, 'I'm fine, Mom,'" she said.
Darryl turned away from his mother. He wanted to tell her the truth about the money and about Tyrae, but he couldn't bring himself to do it. He just did not want her to worry, and he did not want her to tell Uncle Jason. He would only make Darryl feel worse about everything.
"It's just hard, Mom," he said, fighting to stay calm. "It's hard to get used to things out here, but I'm okay. Baby, if I can do anything for you, let me know. You're not alone," she said. Then she gave him a hug. "But I am, Mom," he thought. "I am alone. Who else is here with me?"
2 days after Christmas, Darryl came home from wrestling practice and heard a noise coming from his uncle's garage. It sounded like kids yelling. He put his head up to the door and listened.
"Let me out,"
a child cried. Darryl could tell it was his cousin Nate's voice.
"You gonna give me the remote control car you got for Christmas?"
a second voice said. It was Travis.
"Let me out. I can't breathe,"
Nate screamed. There was terror in his voice.
"Give me the car and I'll let you out," Travis yelled back. "Please let me out. Somebody help me."
Darryl yanked open the garage door. In the dim light, he saw Travis sitting on an old wooden trunk that was padlocked shut. The sound of Nate's sobbing was coming from inside the trunk. Though it was dark, Darryl could see Travis's eyes glistening slightly.
"Let me out," Nate begged.
Darryl felt Nate's pain, but what froze Darryl for a second was Travis. In his cousin's young face, Darryl saw Tyrae. He spotted his hateful smirk lurking maybe just a few years away. Darryl knew that if no one confronted and stopped him, Travis would grow up to be another Tyrae. Darryl could not sit still. He could not allow a bully to get away with hurting another kid, especially in his own family. Despite what Uncle Jason had said, Darryl could not let Travis torture his brother.
"Leave him alone,"
Darryl yelled and walked into the garage.
"Let him out of there now." "My dad said not to listen to you. You can't tell me what to do," Travis said defiantly.
Darryl didn't care what his uncle said.
In one swift move, he yanked Travis off the trunk and pushed him firmly into the wall of the garage.
"Give me the key to the trunk," Darryl growled.
Travis looked surprised.
"Let me go," he screamed. "I'm going to tell my dad."
Darryl saw a shiny metal key in Travis's hand and grabbed it. Quickly, he unlocked the trunk and helped Nate out.
"My dad's going to kick you out of your house and fire your mama. You'll be poor like you were before you got here."
Just then, Uncle Jason's deep voice bellowed through the garage.
"What's the problem in here?"
"Dad, Darryl's pushing me around," Travis whined.
"He locked Nate in the trunk and wouldn't let him out until he gave away his Christmas present," Darryl explained.
Uncle Jason looked shocked.
"You do that, Travis?"
he asked. Travis trembled.
"He did, Dad,"
Nate insisted.
"He stuck me in the trunk and I couldn't breathe, and he wouldn't let me out because he wanted my car. I was scared."
"He's lying,"
Travis howled. A terrible look came over his uncle's face, as if he saw something horrible that he had never wanted to admit existed. He walked over to his older son.
"What do you think you're doing, boy? You could have choked your brother in there."
Travis shrugged his shoulders and looked at the ground.
"Don't you ever try and hurt your brother again, you hear me? Just because you're bigger don't give you the right to push him around or take things from him. I ain't raising no bullies in this house," Uncle Jason yelled. "Now we're going to get this mess straightened out. Both of you get in the house. I'll be in there when I'm done with Darryl. And I'll say this once, Travis. You better tell me the truth, because if I found out you're lying, you might not come outside again until next Christmas. Now get inside."
Both brothers ran into the house. Uncle Jason looked over at Darryl.
"I'm glad you were here, Darryl," he said. "I know I told you not to get involved with them, but you did the right thing. A man's got to stand up when someone else is in trouble, even if it means he might get himself into trouble."
Darryl could tell his uncle was struggling to find the right words. He liked that Uncle Jason had called him a man.
"Look," his uncle continued, "I'm sorry I upset you at your first wrestling match, Darryl."
He paused awkwardly.
"Maybe you don't need my help, but maybe I need yours. You showed me that I need to pay more attention to what's happening with my boys."
He stopped again and looked at the trunk that Nate had been trapped in.
"You're a good kid, Darryl. You're coming along just fine," he said quietly and walked into the house.
Darryl was stunned. He stood in the garage after his uncle left. He quietly closed the trunk, laid the key on top, and went home. For years, Uncle Jason had made him feel smaller and weaker. When he was a young boy, Darryl had dreaded his uncle's visits to Philadelphia. But now things were suddenly different. For once, his uncle said something good about him. For once, he seemed to respect him. At first, Darryl could not understand why Uncle Jason had acted so differently, but the more he thought about it, the more it started to make sense. Darryl was different from the person he had been a few months ago. 2 months ago, he raced home every day to hide from Tyree. Now, he stayed after school to go to wrestling practice. 6 weeks ago, he couldn't even climb halfway up the ropes in practice. Now he could reach the top every time. During his first few weeks at Blueford, his grades were low C's. Now they were all B's. When he arrived in California, he knew no one. Now he was friends with Harold, danced once with Amber Lynn, and talked regularly with the guys on the wrestling team, even older guys like Kevin. What made him even happier was that he had grown an inch since he got to Blueford. He was different, he realized, but not different enough. Darryl still lived in fear of Tyree. He still paid him every Friday. And worst of all, he allowed his fear of Tyree to keep him away from Amberlynn Bailey, the only girl he liked at Blueford. The day before New Year's, Darryl won a wrestling match for the first time by beating a freshman from Sterling High School, 8-2. Coach Lewis was so happy that he hugged Darryl when he stepped off the mat.
"You'll be varsity by your junior year if you keep working this hard," he said.
Kevin told him that he seemed to be learning faster than even he had. That night, his mother bought him his favorite ice cream, mint chocolate chip, and the two sat on the couch and ate it together. At midnight, she told him she wanted to give up fast food in the new year.
I'm going to get big if I don't watch myself, she said. How about you? Any changes you want to make for the new year?
Darryl just smiled and shook his head. He wanted to keep his New Year's resolution to himself, but he knew what it was. It had been building since the moment he handed his mother's money to Tyree. It had continued to grow since he read Hatchet, since he joined the wrestling team, since he held Amber Lynn close to him at the freshman dance. He just had not been ready before, but he was now. He was going to stop paying Tyree.